Matthias von Boxtel is the author of The Encyclopedia of Stupidity. He says the book was born out of blind rage and paralyzing shame at his own stupidity and that of his friends. But von Boxtel does not come to bury stupidity. As he told Steve Paulson, he comes to praise it.
The Encyclopedia of Stupidity is a modern praise of folly, because I think that our culture is the result of a series of successful failures. So the book doesn't attack stupidity in an aggressive way. It's not another book with gaffes, blunders and the like. Well, they are in it, of course, too, but only to point out that we are that intelligent every time and again to conquer our own stupidity. But it forces us to develop our intelligence.
Now, when you talk about successful failures, what do you mean?
Well, serendipity, of course, is the most beautiful example. But let's first start with the definition of stupidity. Stupidity is unwitting self-destruction. So stupidity is the ability to act against one's best interests with death as the extreme consequence. And this talent is typically human. To begin with, man is the only animal species stupid enough to attract the attention of wild animals by the cries he utters at birth. And in addition, man comes into the world to live at purple so that he lacks the protective coloring needed to vanish in the bush. And worse still, unlike the animals that have an instinct for self-preservation, human beings are prepared to risk themselves and their kind for some kind of crazy idea about race, nation, or belief. Well, now we get into my point, because on the one hand, stupidity poses a daily threat to our civilization, but on the other hand, so as not to be destroyed by our own stupidity, the humans were forced to develop their intelligence. So stupidity is the engine that drives our society. All the strategies aimed at controlling our self-destructive stupidity combine to form our, well, our brilliant civilization, I should say. And since you cannot escape stupidity, you might as well enjoy it.
So it would be a mistake to try to eliminate all stupid acts, because then we would never advance as a civilization.
Right. Humankind would be destroyed, or we all would be animals.
So if you want to celebrate stupidity, what are some of your favorite examples of stupid follies?
Well, of course, the examples of the Darwin Award are the most beautiful. The Darwin Award is bestowed through the internet every year on those who have made an invaluable contribution to evolution by involuntarily removing their weak genes from the reproductive process.
These are people who have, by some act of incredible folly, well, stupidity, they managed to die.
Right. So the bungee jumper who gorged the length of his rope against the death of the gorge, but forgot that the rope was made of elastic. And another beautiful example is the 64-year-old throat cancer patient Abraham Mosley, who tried to light a cigar in a Florida hospital, and he managed to set fire to the bandage around his neck and to his pajamas. And because his vocal cords had been removed, he could not call for help. And, well, he was burned alive in his bed. Well, this is a kind of stupidity that is so absurd that it makes you laugh. How tragic it is.
And you do want to laugh, but yeah, I have to say I feel a little embarrassed about laughing about this. I mean, these are tragedies, of course, but they are so ridiculous that you can't help but smile.
No, and think of the Netherlands. At this very moment, I'm sitting 5 meters below sea level. In the 9th century, the land used to lie some 5 meters above sea level, until the inhabitants started to exploit the peat cushions. And within 3 centuries, the whole land had sunk below sea level because of the drainage. And so we had to develop our skills to build dike systems. So stupidity was the engine of our technology. We had to cooperate. That was the start of local communities. So stupidity was the engine of politics, and so forth. So you could say that the Netherlands is the product of stupidity.
And what do your fellow Dutch men and women say to that when you tell them that their country is founded upon stupidity?
Ah, well, the Dutch like to hear that kind of stories. They are kind of masochistic. They indulge in their own stupidity. My book is a great success over here. I don't know why. There are even small clubs who are trying to cope with each other's stupidity. So you can only get in when you have a beautiful example of one of your own stupidities.
Really?
By the way, in England also there is a not terribly good club of Great Britain. And to be eligible for membership, you had to be not terribly good at something. And evenings were held at which people gave demonstrations of their ineptitude. And for artists, there was a Salon des Incompétents. Well, there's a beautiful anecdote, because on the opening night of this club, a banquet was laid on at a specially chosen second-rate restaurant in London. And when a waitress dropped a bowl of soup by accident, the chairman caught it. But because in so doing he averted the disaster, he was expelled from the club on the spot. Well, that shows again the strange dialectics of stupidity.
So are people eager to join these stupidity clubs?
More so, because in the first instance they were reluctant, they were shy, well, maybe a little bit ashamed. But when I explained to them that, well, stupidity is a taboo in our society. Yeah? There's a good reason why we laugh at the stupidity of others, and we try with all our might to hide our own stupidity. But the struggle against stupidity is pointless, because intelligence attacking stupidity becomes caught in its own web of thought patterns, and you can't prevent stupidity. Anyone acting stupidly notices it by definition too late. So stupidity is unavoidable, and I think that you have to make from your stupidity a personal and unique stupidity. So if you fail, fail at the highest possible level. And if you fall, fall with elegance and a song in your heart. So be as colorfully and versatilely stupid as you can. And that way you avoid, well, a blandness and rigidity, the two dangerous sides of stupidity. So I should say, act like me and make stupidity your most redeeming quality.
So I'm guessing that you have thought about this in your own life. Do you find acts of stupidity that you've done?
Oh, my God. Why do you think I'm so brilliant? Because I had to develop time and again several ingenious strategies to conquer my own stupidity. Well, my greatest stupidity was that it was in 1980. I was working my thesis at the university, by the way, a thesis on stupidity. And I thought I found the solution to the world riddle, to all problems in the world. And I had my theory written out on one foresheet. And then I failed to understand my own notes, with a terrible depression and stress as the result. So I became the victim of my own intelligence. And since then, I bought a home trainer, and I developed my muscles as well. So there you are. And on the one hand, stress, modern-day stupidity, and on the other hand, the home trainer, maybe the greatest monument of stupidity in our times.
The home trainer?
The home trainer.
What is that?
It's a bike that doesn't move.
Oh, okay.
The home trainer, I'm sitting in my kitchen three times a week, looking at the mirror and trying to pass myself. It's a surplus. You can't get anywhere, but it's very handy. I've got a note with a pencil next to me, and the most brilliant ideas come up when I'm sweating on my bike.
Does stupidity reflect a lack of morals?
Well, sometimes, but I'm afraid that the contrary is even worse. Too much morale can paralyze your own actions. I mean, the most stupid thing you can do is to be struck dumb for fear of doing something stupid. And very moralistic people, well, they tend to, not live enough.
They're too careful. They don't want to take risks.
Right. They don't take risks, and they don't enjoy life. And this last thing is the most stupid thing you can do. Maybe they expect a better life after this life. Well, it's a difficult bet, but not for me. They bet on something where there ain't any proof of a life after this one, so I better bet on this life and say make a success of it. All the possibilities are hidden in this creation.
Now, one of the entries in your encyclopedia involves that wascally wabbit, Bugs Bunny. How does Bugs figure into the study of stupidity?
Ah, well, once there was the idea that all these cartoons were full of secret messages for humankind. Even a kind of Buddhist morale was hidden in it. Well, I'm referring to one special beautiful cartoon in which cowboy Yosemite Sam goes to a circus that advertises a death-defying leap. So a dive from the top of the circus tent into a tub of water, a very small tub. Well, it turns out that the artist is indisposed, so Sam forces the ringmaster, that is Bugs Bunny, to stand in for him. Well, Bugs is standing on the diving board in the top of the tent. And that diving board is attached to a platform on top of a ladder. And Sam saws the board off. And the strange thing is that the rabbit doesn't fall, but stupid Sam goes down with platform and ladder and all. And clever Bugs Bunny remains suspended in the air on the sawn-off diving board, turns to the audience and says, "I know this defies the law of gravity, but you see, I never studied law." Well, that is as if gravity only works if we are familiar with its effects. Well, the joke is, of course, that the rabbit knows perfectly well that there is something he doesn't know. And as long as he does not know, he is safe. And I think that that is the same for our existence. As long as we do not know all, we tend to be, well, rather happy. But once we come to understand the secret logic of our society, we may lose faith in it. We may lose our hope. And life without hope is a hell.
So there's a danger to knowing too much. I guess there are virtues in being stupid then? You can sort of plunge ahead with life without too many worries?
Well, I should say you should better enjoy your own illusions, but try to remember that they are illusions. That's rather hard to live by, but we can't without our own fictions. Fictions are very important to enjoy our life. And of course, they are just fictions and there's a harsh reality beyond them. But we should see the harsh reality as well. But we should not be, turn into terrorists, try to find another meaning by violence. But we should try to find another meaning by way of fictions.
Matthias von Boxtel is the author of The Encyclopedia of Stupidity. He spoke with Steve Paulson.